Evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us to our Neighborhood and Quality of Life Committee special workshop dealing with our building department. I know many of you have called us over the years about questions you have. I know each of us have individual items that we put on agendas to better discuss some of the issues with our building department, and I want to thank the building department for hosting this evening. I also want to let anybody know who would like to participate. Log on to Zoom, and the webinar ID is 895-6171-0681. Again, that's 895-6171-0681, and you can call us toll-free at 877-853-5257. Tonight we have joining us, actually, Mayor Gelber, thank you for joining us, Commissioners, Vice Mayor Stephen Miner, Commissioner Michael Gongora, Eric Carpenter, I see, who else is on there? I see a few people from the city. Anna, our building director, will be speaking in just a minute, but I'm going to open it up, and the format's going to be as following. We're going to have the building department give us a presentation and kind of set the groundwork for what it is that, you know, seeing our items that we have put on in the past, kind of let them give us the overview of what we're going to be touching on tonight. And then I'm going to open it up for us for discussion, questions, comments, and of course to the public, because I think the public needs to be a part of this conversation. We need to be, with some sort of schedule that I think would work. And I think after we hear everything, it'd be great to open it up to the public. Unless any of you feel we should open it up sooner, I'm happy to do that as well. Mayor, I'm going to let you kick it off.
Well, it's your committee, Commissioner, but I wanted to thank you and Commissioners Miner and Commissioner Gongora for hosting this. We get so many questions from people about the building department. So many, and to people who do it all the time, sometimes it can be complex. To people who do it for the first time, I'm sure it's very complex. And I know they don't want it to be. They want it to be accessible and easy. So I really appreciate that you all are putting this together. And I hope it's recorded because I think we should let it, a lot of the questions you're going to get, a lot of the presentation that's going to be made are going to be helpful to people, not just those that are listening, but maybe those that want to get a primer, and maybe this can be that kind of plan. So hopefully it'll be recorded, and hopefully the questions and the presentations that are made will really enlighten a lot of people who have found it a little difficult or just have never done it before and at some point may want to go to the building department. So thank you to you and your committee, and I look forward to hearing a lot of this.
Thank you so much. And I think you're correct. We get a lot of emails on this topic, permits, and trying to achieve, a more user-friendly situation for our constituency, our residents, and our citizenry here. Michael, I know you also had items that you had placed, and that's one of the reasons why we also are doing this workshop. So I'll let you and Vice Mayor Miner say a few words, and then we'll hand it over to Anna and begin.
Sure. Do you want to go first, Vice Chair, or do you want me to?
No, go ahead. Seniority.
Okay. Thank you. No, I appreciate your comments. I think you've introduced this and set this up very well. Typically, the complaints that I most get copied with, that I'm most interested in focusing tonight's discussion on, is why is it taking so long to pull a permit and to close out your permit and to get your inspections done? That is really the biggest complaint I get from people is the time involved. As such, I asked the building director to also tonight present what is the average time frame for getting a permit, and if possible, to compare that to other local governments in South Florida to see if we're ahead, behind, about the same, because this may be something that is happening all over South Florida. But that is the number one complaint that I get, so I do hope to get that answer. Second, I hope that for those of you watching, we have a number of attendees that have actually gone through the process, because you'll know better than we will, perhaps areas for improvement where you've encountered problems. So I do look very much forward to the public input after the presentation is made. And again, we are here to provide and help with whatever legislation or direction we can to help the building department work even better. So thank you all for attending tonight.
Yes. Vice Mayor?
Thank you. And yeah, consistent, one tweak I will add, but consistent with what Commissioner Gongora just said, I am getting a lot of inquiries to my office, and I'm sure we all are, when they're not getting basically permits in a timely fashion. Just give one example. Somebody reached out to me. It's been almost a month already, but I guess they bought a generator from Home Depot, but Home Depot won't install it without the permits, and it's been a long process. So that's just one example, but literally I'm getting a lot of reach out from folks. So obviously if people are getting to the point where they're reaching out to their elected official, they're concerned about the timing. I guess the second thing I'm hearing, which probably wasn't as big a problem prior to COVID, is that they're not able to reach anybody. So, and I think maybe that's why they're kind of coming to, at least obviously to, I don't know what they're doing with other commissioners and the mayor, but they're certainly reaching out to me because they're not getting a response. And I'd be curious, Anne, if you could address that too in your presentation, because I don't think we furloughed a lot of the people. And if the person is in person and somebody can walk up to City Hall and speak to someone, I'm not sure why we're having such difficulty. At least what I'm hearing from people is that they can't reach anybody. There's, you know, calls are not getting returned. And basically then they look to me to try to intervene. And I have, but again, that's probably not the best case scenario. I don't mind trying to help, but it's obviously not the best case scenario for our residents if I'm trying to intervene and find out what's happening with their permit. So just the last comment, I guess, is if there's a way, and maybe this is part of your presentation, I don't mean to take away your thunder, Anna, but to sort of streamline the process, and I think that's partly what you can discuss, but my understanding is that sometimes there are multiple calls that need to be made to different departments. And I'm wondering if it not only would save time for our resident, but also for our city staff, if instead of someone having to call multiple different people across the city, if that process can sort of move itself along, and we'd probably save a lot of time for our residents and staff. So thank you. I look forward to the presentation.
Yeah, I had the same thoughts regarding streamlining, and I'm sure we're going to hear some of that tonight. So Anna, I'm going to please introduce yourself so we can go ahead and start your presentation and then open it up so that we can have a real informed discussion about the things that we would like to pursue and see and where and how we get there best. So the floor is yours.
Thank you. Thank you, commissioners. And thank you for requesting to put this on. We've done some community outreach during this process, during the pandemic. We've held, I think, about 6 meetings with different key people that are involved in permitting. We've sent them out to everyone that's on a permit so everyone could come to could attend the meetings. We've also recorded the meetings and had them on our website. But I do understand it has been a difficult time. My name is Anna Salgado, by the way. I am the director of the building department and the building official, and I am proud to be with the city of Miami Beach and in this capacity, and to be able to assist residents as much as possible with navigating the process. And it has become a little bit more challenging because of the technicalities, the same way of the technicalities of having the Zoom meetings, the technicalities of doing an electronic process has been challenging. And I will start to share my screen because I think you want to hear less from me and more from the constituents, and so do I. Hold on. Technical issues. I apparently have to hit share screen before I start sharing it.
You're going to be sharing a PowerPoint with us?
Yes, I'm going to be sharing a PowerPoint with you. And I've
Hi, Anna, it's Tanya. Do we have your presentation?
No, you do not. I've got it, and I had it. I had it on my screen. I just clicked something, and I, you know, sometimes.
If you want to, you can go ahead and send it to me, and I'm happy to put it up for you if it helps.
Probably not. Oh,
okay.
So, Tanya, I'm going to send it to you right now.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
So somehow it switched, which was my main screen. So can you see it?
Now we see it.
Okay.
Anna, if you may click from beginning, so it starts the presentation.
Yeah, I know. It's excellent. Just that Thank it's you. For some reason doing from beginning on another screen. It's putting it on my secondary screen. And I don't know how to switch it now. Display settings.
So, yes, if you click display settings, duplicate.
There we go. It's disconnecting. Okay. Can you see it now?
No.
Okay. Now?
Now we do.
Perfect. Sorry about that. This is our permitting process workshop. Today's December 2nd. And I wanted to talk to you about the process, the past and the future of the process. So we began previously, we had a walkthrough process, and it involved two types of plan review. There was a 24-hour walkthrough, and there was a drop-off plan review. Both required you to come to our department, pull a ticket, drop off your plans, and come back and pick them up. And so whenever someone had an issue, they were able to interact directly with staff. And the current process, thank you, COVID, has become an electronic plan submission. We started transferring, and we've gone through three different transitions during COVID, mainly because we weren't ready for a fully electronic, but didn't want to stop. So our initial process, we were having people email us, we were uploading drawings for them, and we were continuing to work. That was early, early pandemic. Then we developed a better system, and people were able to upload drawings directly into the using the EnerGov system. And so that second process began probably sometime mid-April, and the customer was able to upload, and they were able to do that mid-April to July 27th. July 27th, we switched to what is really more of an electronic process. And then our future plan is to hopefully, and we've actually were in talks earlier this week, and it seems very positive, to have an appointment system to allow for plan drop-offs for people that are not as tech savvy, and to also allow for both in-person and online appointments that are pre-set up so that someone can, who is concerned about their health, can still know that someone's available for them to talk to, or they can choose to come in person if they would rather have the face-to-face. And so to give our customer the most options for their permitting needs. And so these are the numbers comparing a little bit of what we did last year with what we did this year. And last year in fiscal year 2019, we had about 10,608 permits that were applied for, and permits that were issued were 9,867. Some of this means that there were some permits that are still dragging into 2020. Some of it could be permits that someone decided once they got bids from their contractor not to go forward with the project. So it really depends on the person, how they decide to go forward. This year, instead of 10,000, we've seen about 9,088, but the permits issued have dropped more drastically from the 9,867 to 8,749. Some of it may be people who have decided to pause their projects because of the pandemic. Some of it may be people who have, you know, still not gotten their permits issued. But this is, we really did see in April and May a huge drop off on the number of plans that were being processed, the number of applications that were being brought in. That since then has picked up. And then looking at the dollar values on the jobs that permits that were issued last year to the permits that were issued this year, again, there's a substantial drop, which makes sense with a drop in the number of permits. This is, I looked at information from fiscal year 2020 to focus on the types of permits that people are applying for. There's the commercial permits, the residential and the different trades, and then also revisions to permits and other permits. And this is anything from the electrical vehicle permits, any of the assigned permit, anything that doesn't fall into one of those bigger categories. And I also looked at how much is new construction, how much of the number of permits that we see are new construction residential, and how much is new construction commercial. And so there's a lot more new construction residential, but the next slide will be kind of interesting with that. And then for our numbers, I used the months of July through November, because by then we were processing electronically. Even though it was late July when we fully went online, we were already had transitioned to an electronic and online process. So looking at the average number of permit applications that we get in a month, including sub permits that are go directly to the counter. And so this looks at the average number of permits, and it's a little over 1,000 that we're seeing on a monthly basis. And so this has been our challenge. And no, we have not laid off staff. We have had staff go home because they've tested positive. We have had people quarantine. Here's where the kind of fun, interesting thing comes up. If you looked on the previous slide for the residential and the commercial, you see that it's a smaller pie of commercial and a bigger pie, piece of the pie in residential. But when you look at new construction by square footage, it flips almost, it's almost the same flip, so that the number, the square footage of residential actually becomes the smaller piece of the pie, the light blue color, and the commercial piece of the pie becomes the larger one, because this has to do with the square footage and thereby the dollar value. So what you're saying is that new construction and commercial projects, while there's less of them, they are bigger in area, they encompass more square footage, and the dollar value for the city and the resources are more substantial. And if you look on the side of it, there's also the location. So it the little dots on the map are by location. This is our dashboard that we're developing. And we actually, last week was when the dashboard, this is our prototype dashboard for us to use internally. I'm hoping that once we've used it internally for bettering the process, we can start to actually put it online and allow customers to see the information that they're looking for. And then this compares the number of new permits, new construction, residential to commercial in 2019. And when you look in 2020, there's a lot more new construction. It's no longer like an even number of permits. And that's what was on that previous slide, where you see a lot more new construction residential compared to the commercial. And the bottom of the slide then has the information again by permit types issued. And we see a huge increase in 2020, fiscal year 2020, of the building permits being issued. The other permits look, the values look about the same as the year before, but the number of the building permits being issued in 2020 go up from 2019. I think there's a couple of reasons for this. One is we used to have more shop drawings and we've made those now permit types. So, and those have all become building permits. So while it may not mean a lot more dollars, and it's really just we shifted them from being a shop drawing to a permit, but it really does show a growth. And so a lot of these would be window permits or something along those lines. Maybe generators that before were looked at as shop drawings are now being looked at in this way. And so this is, and then at the top, you see the number of new construction projects is about 55 in a year. And the number of city projects across the city have been 116 this year. So we track the city projects, and this is something that we're hoping to also, you know, put that information out there so that we can keep track of how many of our city projects, how many projects are new construction, and better kind of look at where we need to better allot resources and staffing. And so here's a quick kind of comparison, and I apologize for the sort of weird graphics. This is, you know, I'm the graphics person here. So the comparison between the old system and the new. And so if you look, I have, again, color-coded where the green meant you had to come into the department to do something. And the blue is when we're, the building department is doing something, and the purple is when the person is interacting with a computer. So in the old system, people had to come at the beginning, get a ticket, and I looked at the average time, and the average time for tickets were between 45 minutes and 2 hours. So I looked at, the average was 45 minutes, but the longest time was 2 hours. So I said, when you would come to the department, you may get lucky and you may be out in less than 45 minutes, but you could expect up to be here up to 2 hours in order to drop off your plans or pick something up. And so I looked at those numbers, and then the plans were dropped off, and then we had a vendor come, and the vendor would come once a day, pick up the plans, take them to their site, digitize the plans, place them in a computer, and then we would have to upload the plans in and create the plan review. That process between when the person came in and the plans were actually uploaded for review could take 3 to 4 days. They said it was a 24-hour process, but it was 24 hours between when the vendor would pick them up and bring them back. Usually the vendor actually took 36 hours between when they picked them up and brought them back, or 48. And then we had to now grab that information and upload them one at a time. So that was usually a 3-day process, sometimes 4 days, because if you brought something in early in the morning, it may not, the vendor may have already come. If you came late afternoon, that day doesn't really count. So it was kind of an interesting process. The plan review at the time was taking between 14 and 21 days. 21 days is the maximum that we are allowed by ordinance. So the 21 days was the maximum being allowed. These are on the drop-off plans. And then for finalization, it was not an automatic process. The customer would again come in, they would be issued their fees, the plans were finalized, they would, the finalization team would work on that, and that was an internal process, but the fees were issued and paid, and so there was a process, the plans were then uploaded, and a link was sent to the customer, and then that's where the customer had an online process where they would print their permits out. The process at the bottom is the new process, and that's the one where they go to my mbselfservice.com and they can apply for a building online application. And then that process, then it needs a person. One by one, that person opens up those building online applications, processes them, creates a process number, an invoice for them, and it's sent to the customer, and then the customer pays the invoice and can upload their files. This is the process I would like to streamline. And I've reached out to Tyler through our IT department to look into making that where the person could apply online and upload the files and have them automatically transferred. Currently, in order to transfer files, we would have to do it one by one. And that process, if we left a file out, would be critical to someone. So we're doing it this way to make sure, to ensure that the information is complete and is where they want it to be. Then there's a process where a review coordinator looks at each file individually, makes sure that the files are properly digitally signed and sealed, and then opens up the plans for plan review. And that process of plan review is on average, and that process has actually dropped since the pandemic, because even though people are working, some of them are working remotely, they're focused on one task. Before the pandemic, we had walk-ins and drop-offs, and we had different ways of seeing plans. And so the reviewer was actually more frazzled in their day and was more interrupted. And now they're able to focus and do their reviews much more carefully. So the plan review time has actually dropped. And then after the plans are reviewed, again, this is an auto internal process. The finalization and the feeing all happens without the customer needing to notify us. The finalizing is taking a little bit longer. And the reason is we started with vendor scanning. And so that those files are in one location. Then we started with customer uploading or emailing us, and those files are in a different location. And now we've gone to a fully digital system, and those files are in a third location. So if you have a process that started pre-pandemic, you may have files in three different locations. So the person that finalizes has to pick, find all the files, find the best ones, the latest and the greatest of each set, compile them, and stamp them approved. And that's the process that also needs some tweaking. We have been working at streamlining it, but I didn't want to, because everyone's had such a hard time adjusting, start and tell people, okay, you can only submit everything digitally and make them stop and start over. So I'm letting them continue this way, and we're working to pick up the pieces to try to see how we can finalize as quickly as possible, because finalizing means my permit's issued. I have my drawings. I'm able to call for inspection. So that process is critical. Then once those files are finalized, they're placed in the system and they're available to the customer to then print their permit cards, and move ahead. And so here's a quick little kind of a video presentation of the process of what it is to go to the citizen self-service. And I'm just going to talk over it and not give all the details, but you would log in or register. If you're already a user, you log in and you kind of move through the process. You choose permits and you choose apply. And the first category that pops up at the top is always the building online application. So that's why we went to a general application. We used to have more types of applications and found that people were choosing the wrong permit more often than not. And we were spending more time and effort undoing permits rather than doing permits. Then once they've created all that, they can add information on their address. They add information on the type of permits. You add the contact. And it's a pretty interactive with like little pluses and minuses. And our system, for those of you that have used the online system to look things up, sometimes when you give it too much information on an address, it gets a little crazy. So you need to be sparing with your information. The number should be clear. If it's, for example, South Point, sometimes, because then people will put South Point. And so sometimes it gets a little confused. So if you just put the address number and you put point, it'll give you options that include South Point. That's, I think, been one of the fun things about the system that everyone has had trouble sometimes finding it. But with this MB self-serve, selfserve.com, joining the, getting the permit and starting the permit takes, creating an account is a 4-step process. It is a pretty quick process. Now, this is the key. This is the point where most people get stuck, and it's what files do we need to see? And so we need to make sure that it's submitted in a PDF. The way our system works is you submit all your architectural sheets in one file called architectural plans. You would submit your structural sheets in a file called structural plans, and so on and so forth. Any supporting documents, again, you would group them all together by the types of supporting documents. So if it's structural calculations, that would be one file. You need to make sure that it's in a single PDF and it isn't a PDF package, because our system cannot handle it and we can't finalize it. They need to have only one layer, so they need to be flattened and not have embedded objects. All of these are things that would keep us from being able to finalize the plans. They can't be encrypted or password protected, and they must allow markups, because when we do approve the plans, the stamp that we put on it is a markup. So we need to be able to stamp the plans. And we ask that the scanned documents be scanned at no greater than 300 DPI as far as the resolution, just so that you can keep your documents in a smaller format that's quicker to review. The plans are submitted all in one set per discipline, as I mentioned before, and they need to be scale drawings. Not everything needs an architect, but everything does need dimensions and does need a ruler to draw it. So we do need scale drawings in order to do our reviews. And so these are things that the clerks check on each and every file. We get over 300 files submitted every day, and we have 10 clerical staff assigned to review the files. They are also doing other tasks. It's not just reviewing the files. They are also doing the permit intake review, where they look at the documents submitted and they look at more detailed on the application. And so the important guidelines that we have for uploading on our website, we have videos, but we also have step-by-step instructions. Some people are more video learner. Some people really like to have an instruction book that they can open up while they figure out the internet. So we have both as choices. So these are things we like to call it our do list. So we ask that you do visit our website, that you create an account, you know, that you allow the markups, and that you follow the naming convention. We have like a clear detail. Some people get very creative with the names they give files. They'll call it the owner's name. They'll give it the address. It gets very creative, but it makes it harder for the reviewer, because the plumbing reviewer is looking for something that says plumbing plans. So he does not know that R52-7 Salgueiro are the plumbing plans for this house. So he really, if you just call them plumbing plans, it'll make everyone's life a little bit easier. And do reach out to the customer, the building department's customer service. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that group, because I know you started mentioning, but later. The rules for digital signature and seal on plans is quite complicated. So there are three methods that you can use that we're allowing during the pandemic. One is that it be digitally signed and sealed, and that there be a third-party certificate authority that looks at that checks and verifies that you're the person signing and sealing. The other one is an electronic signed and sealed drawings and a secure hash algorithm. That is free, but it is more complicated. And because it's free, it requires that you put a little extra effort into getting it right. The third party verifier, there is a fee associated with those. And it's not that we're not choosing one method over the other. We've just found that in the months that we've been doing this, we've had two people correctly submit secured hash algorithm drawings. And we've had a multitude of people successfully submit the third party verifier or the last option, which is something we're really allowing internally because of the pandemic, because we're not taking paper plans, is that physically signed and sealed drawings have to come through with an affidavit. And the rules for architects and engineers are a little different. And the architect is allowed to digitally sign and seal an index sheet. The engineers must sign and seal every page. So we have information on how to do that. And here there's a little thing on how the verification works as far as when you're using the algorithm or when you're using a third party, how that with the algorithm, how that process works. So it's kind of... It is not complicated. It's just time consuming and you must do things in a certain order. The affidavit lets someone who is not as tech savvy give us a drawing of their signature and seal and provide an affidavit saying that this is them and a notarized affidavit. And this is something we've been accepting and we've said until December 31st. Hoping that by December 31st, maybe we'd have our appointment system up. We may have to extend this if we don't have our appointment system fully up and functioning by then. And at the bottom of this, it's got the page on where to look up the affidavit. Additionally, we ask that people review our guidelines before they submit anything, because most of the frustrations that you're getting are people that have submitted and then resubmitted because they're missing something. It's not properly signed and sealed. It's not properly packaged and we can't move it forward into review. And so some of the frustration is when with those sets of files, because they haven't been seen yet because they're submitting them and they're leaving something out. So we this is why we ask that people please look at our guidelines, review the documents before uploading them, make sure that they're following the requirements. Then if a submission fails, you need to resubmit files. You need to have to wait until the review cycle closes. So it may be that one reviewer has failed it and that others still haven't seen it yet. And you're already ready to make those corrections. The way this system works is the door opens, you upload your files, you hit submit, the door closes. So if you need, when you need to wait till the door has reopened in order to upload files. And there was a time where, and it was user error on our side, that some of our staff was forgetting to reopen the door. We've been working to train everyone. The door is being opened on a regular basis. We're double checking. When someone has trouble submitting, they know to reach out, and we've been making sure that the doors are open, and we've been retraining staff to make sure that people don't forget to do the basic function. And so here's a little more on the numbers. And when you asked, Commissioner Gongora, you asked how long the plans are with us. I don't have the total time from application to permit. We don't have the report for that yet. And so I asked for it yesterday and we're working on it, but I didn't get the report done in one day. But this shows the number of days that the plans are with us. And this is the average days that the plans are in the building review. And then the average days the plans are with the customer. And so, and it breaks it down to by trade. This is only the building trades. And so, but the average time that they're with the customers includes once we've closed that review and opened up the door, the number of days that they have before they upload. So it's taking them on average about 12 days to resubmit to us. And it takes us on average about 2 days in plan review for all the building trades. This doesn't mean that everything is going to be done in 2 days. It means some plans may be done in a day and others may take 3 or 4. So it's an average and that's looked at over the fiscal year.
Chair, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah. Anna,
yes.
First of all, is this presentation, like if somebody were from the public would want to view this and see this, is this accessible on our website?
We will put it on our website. I wanted to present it first, so okay. It's not there right now.
I will say there's I'm getting some texts from some people who are actually on the phone now, and they kind of know this process. They've had some other issues, and I know they want to speak. So I just wanted to mention that to you, that people are reaching out and they have specific concerns that, you know, this, they're familiar with the process. They're not able to navigate to a final conclusion.
Okay. And then one of the things that I wanted to show on this slide is the percentage of pass and fail. And if you look overall, 34% of the time that we see something, it fails, and 66% it passes. So I know that's not a great pass fail ratio, but I don't know if you've seen the Florida Building Code. It is not one volume. It is an entire shelf of books. And so it's a complicated process. And so it basically, this shows about a third of the time things need to be resubmitted, and two thirds of the time they go through. And if you look trade by trade, some of the trades are a little stricter, but generally you see the breakdown being about the same. And so we do over 41,000 reviews a year. There is no bonus for failing something extra times. We're actually making sure that the chiefs look and follow up and check anything that's been disapproved more than 3 times to make sure that the reviewers are putting clear comments so that we start nipping this in the bud. And this is what is a building permit? And so on the one side, I have the departments that are the sections that are part of the building department review. And on the other side of the screen is everything else that's on a building permit, but is not from the building department. So I've broken it down with the departments at the top. I have Miami-Dade County, because Miami-Dade County at the bottom, and then there's sub-departments that look at things. And even within DERM, there's subsections to DERM. So DERM may be 2 or 3 reviews. They have a core review and they may have others. But so the building department, what is the building department, is the permit counter, building, roofing, structural, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, and flood, and then environmental, fire protection planning, public works, and Miami-Dade County are also on our permit review. So if it's residential, fire prevention will not be seeing it, but the other sections, the other departments may all be on a residential permit. And this is why some of it gets as complicated as it does, because of the number of different departments, agencies, and then different codes that we're each using to look at this. So each of us is looking at this tiny little slice that's our area of expertise. As far as, again, I'm showing you some dashboards, some numbers. These are the numbers of record requests that we do in a year, the total of job value. It shows the number of outstanding. We do the 40-year and recertification, which a lot of people call the 40-50. So once a building turns 40, I call it the 40-year-old building colonoscopy. Every 10 years, you'll have to come back and have an engineer certify the structural and electrical components of the building. And so this shows it by breakdown and the average of, and again, it's got the average reviews per day, and then the revenues that we get from building permits and the revenues that we get from fines. We are directly funded from the revenues, our revenue sources. So your taxes don't pay for us. The fact that you get a permit pays for the department and pays for our employees. This has the average number of inspections that we do on a permit in a day, the number of this is, again, the ratio of passed to failed inspections. About 30% of the inspections fail, about 70% pass. And then when you look per discipline, you see the numbers, and some of them are closer to a 50-50. Some of them really are closer to a 30-70 ratio, depending on the group. I think building is closer to a 50-50, but building includes a lot of different inspections, whereas mostly the trades like plumbing, electrical, and mechanical will do a rough inspection and a final inspection. So they have a tendency to have less number of inspections that they have to handle on a permit. And if the rough went well, hopefully the final will go well. If the rough was rough, the final may be a little rough too. But this gives you a little idea of the kinds of numbers that we're doing yearly. And I wanted to do, because there's a change of process that happened coincidentally yesterday, that DERM is now, people were applying to DERM through us. And one of the big complaints that has happened during the pandemic, pre-pandemic, people could bring plans into us and have us upload to DERM or choose to go to DERM directly. And they had choices. When the pandemic hit, they had no choices. They had to bring every plan to us direct. Every plan had to be uploaded to us. That process of the review coordinator then had a process below that, someone that looked to see if it needed to be uploaded to DERM, and then they were uploading to DERM so that you would bring in your plans, and maybe it would take, instead of the 3 days or 4 days to get to review, it was taking an extra 2 or 3 days to get to DERM. And then DERM is on a different cycle, but our door only opens and closes for plan uploads one at a time. And so there was a huge frustration because of the lag with DERM. So I kept reaching out to the county. I think I was kind of annoying them like crazy and asking them to please allow the customer to go directly. So I asked the county for three things. I asked them us to continue uploading to the county, our customers to be able to go directly to the county if they wanted, and our customers to be able to start the process with us and then go to the county later and upload directly to the county. And it was months and months and months. And then the county said, no, 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 no. And then finally the county said, well, the only thing we can do is allow the customers to come directly to us only. So that's the process that's happening now. The customers can go directly to DERM and upload their plans to DERM. And they have a portal. There's instructions on how to upload to DERM. And so this started yesterday, and the county did a cold switch, unlike us that transfer things slowly. So anything that came in before yesterday was processed by us. Anything that came in today is being processed directly to the county. And there's no transition period. So we did send out emails to customers to let them know about this with instructions. I'm hoping that after they've done the direct submittals for a while, that the county will come back with allowing some sort of a hybrid process. So I'm hoping that this will encourage the county to look at hybrid solutions. I think that would be the best for our customers. But since they didn't really want to look at a hybrid, I figured I'd try to maybe force their hand a little bit on this. These are important links for our website to look at. Obviously, I've mentioned it several times, the mbselfserve.com. Go to our homepage. We really do spend a lot of time trying to put as much information as possible in as clear a format as possible on our website. We've also, for those of you that have gotten used to sending things to BPI, We've split out BPI. This is part of, and you know, I listen and I get the same complaints. No one answers their phone. I know because our security guards give my extension when someone has trouble reaching someone. So I get the calls. So I know they're having trouble, and I normally answer the phone. In the process, we've then created 3 direct emails so that we don't have double handling. Everything was going to BPI. Someone was sorting at BPI and then distributing those emails. So to make it a more streamlined process, you can go directly. So if you're a contractor that has to update contractor license information, you can just go to buildingcontractor@miamibeachfl.gov. If you have an issue with one of your inspections, you go to buildinginspection@miamibeachfl.gov. And if you want information to follow up on something, you go to buildinginfo@miamibeachfl.gov. The idea is to take what was coming into one email as a giant bulk and divide it up into 3. We used to have 3 people that answered the phone and full-time, and we had 3 people that were part-time on emails. We've now joined the groups, and it's a group of 8 people. There is a direct supervisor, and there's Leonore Hernandez, that everybody knows, oversees that group, so that she's the 10th person. She's the cherry on top of that group, and they're handling the phone calls. We receive over 600 calls every day. We get more calls than any other city department, including the central phone section for the city. So we did have a problem early pandemic. Our entire phone section was exposed, and so it was closed. It was quarantined for 14 days. And so that's when we started pushing and requesting that everyone contact us via email, because there's no one that can answer 600 phone calls. We've since then reached out with IT, and we've gotten laptops. And so the laptops will make it so that the customer service center folks can answer the phones, not just when they're in the office. If they have to be remote, they will be able to answer phone calls remotely, and it'll be a central line. We're also having a program that we're switching to that we've been working on for a little over a year that will allow us to track the number of calls coming in, the types of calls coming in, to maybe also improve that part of our website. Because if someone's having trouble getting the information, we want to make sure that they're getting it properly. We also want to make sure that people aren't on hold very long, and we want to make sure that people aren't hanging up on the phone calls. So this is all part of that, trying to improve that, because we have noticed, and the complaints, the same complaints that you all have been getting, we've been getting, and we've been trying to look at creative solutions and how to try to help streamline that process. And my last plug, to please visit our website. We have a survey on the main page. Please, and you'll see, this is a little meme. I like to say this is what my mother wishes I looked like. But there's where the meme of me is, it says, click here and take a quick survey. And so I ask everyone that's on this and that has used permitting to please take the survey, answer the questions. We like the feedback. You'll be speaking today, but if you don't want to speak up, or if you don't get a chance, take the survey. And that's our website. And thank you again for listening. And I defer.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Anna. Colleagues, I'm going to bring it up to the virtual committee dais. Commissioner Samuelin, thank you for joining us. Before I open it up to the public, I know I wrote down some comments. I don't know what comments or questions or thoughts you have, or would you like me to just open it up first?
Vice Chair? Opening it up to the public.
Okay. Let's do that. Let's start with the public. Anybody who wishes to speak, just press *9 on your phone or click the raise hand icon on Zoom. You will be given a couple minutes, and Christina, you're there, right? Our first caller is John Sutter.
Yes. Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Yes, hi. My goodness, I never thought I would get this call, and so thank you so much. Mr. Mayor, I know that you have your plate full with all the challenges with the pandemic, but I've been trying to get this issue to your attention for a very long time, so I'm very grateful that I get the chance to do that. So I've been living here. I'm talking, I believe, for many, many people. I would say at least 2,000 residents here. And I'm talking about specifically about the area Collins Avenue between 56th Street and 60th Street. So we're having our own little health hazard going on here, which is called noise pollution. What has been going on for a very long time is basically this place, which is a 35 mile per hour residential area, it has turned into a speed truck. I mean, people are doing 80 miles an hour all the time, especially late at night, and it's become unbearable here to live here because of the noise. And I personally have some evidence, videos and pictures. I don't know if you were aware that there were actually people that have died in high speed accidents here on 56 Collins Avenue. Again, a 35 mile per hour residential area.
Caller, your time is up. We appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Christina. Thank you for bringing that to attention. We will have someone follow up with you. Next person on the queue. Again, this is our building workshop, so whatever we can do to keep it to that. But I understand if you have other issues that you want to bring up, we will follow up as best we can after. Cecilia, please, you have the floor.
Okay. Hi. I don't know how to fit this in 2 minutes, but first of all, I want to mention that Anna, when I email, she responds, she's open-minded and creative with whatever I propose. Leonor, Joanna, Rosie with permits, they're great. However, I see that if you get 600 calls per day, it's because it's a city that has the most problems. I've been running permits for 10 years. I also do my drawings, I have a master in architecture and so forth. So I'm familiar with every time you change the system, I have to get familiar, but I'm very familiar this time. The website, I don't think it's very friendly, but going to the point of what I would urgently try to fix at this point is the inspections that even when I get permits for my clients, then when everything is ready to go, they are very challenged to call inspections. And for a permit that would have to schedule the first basic inspections first, they don't show up as available. So there's a glitch or something. I shared this already with several people at the building department, but something happens, and that is when you have to make a phone call. And that's when it becomes hell, because nobody picks up, and when they pick up, it's very complicated. So that must be something from the tech department. Then the 200 reinspection fee for a contractor that's trying to make ends meet on COVID and everything. If they fail an inspection or whatever happened, they charge $200. I think it's very excessive, and it doesn't matter if it's a $2 million permit or if it's a $500 permit for a repair of a leak. The holes that originate due to untrained new people there, and this is again nothing personal, I'm just trying to contribute, but holds take
caller, your time is up. Well, we appreciate
I don't
time.
Mind Christina, I don't mind giving her, thank you so much, I don't mind giving her a couple more seconds.
Sure.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. So some holds are originated apparently because of the urgency of COVID and having more clerks there that apparently are not very well trained. So then the process doesn't go well. And the only way to fix it is to make a phone call. And in other cities like City of Miami, Miami-Dade County, and I don't know, I run permits from Palm Beach to the Keys. So it's a city that gives me the most trouble, especially because I used to get my permits in one day in a walkthrough. Now it takes me at least a month and a half for anything, even if it's so very simple. And what else?
I appreciate those comments, Cecilia. I actually made some notes. Thank you so much for calling. Anybody else also have any questions or comments that they would like to bring to our attention? Thomas, you are on.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can.
Yes, thank you. I would just like to say that I've had a number of experiences with the building department. And I think it's pretty clear from any resident of Miami Beach, the process is broken. When I was looking at the charts and the time frame of the expected time of permits and such, my experience has been nothing at all like that. I believe that other people are on the line that would like to speak, so I'll try to be brief. But I think the issue is that the building department doesn't seem to work to serve the residents. I had a situation back before COVID where I had emergency AC replacement, and I had to personally spend 2 days at the city myself just to try to get a permit. Now I currently have a much bigger project going on in a renovation as I am a condo dweller here, and the delays have been absurd. My contractor has been told that he didn't renew his license, which he did on multiple occasions and sent proof and multiple emails. Trying to get a hold of someone has been impossible, with the exception of a Mr. Singh who works there, who has been helpful. And then Eric Carpenter, who also has stepped in and done a fantastic job. But my level of frustration through this process has been excessive and just not fair as a more than 20-year resident of Miami Beach to go through the extra burdens and the costs and the financial hardships that the lack of organization, structure, multitude of issues are being caused by the building department. So I'm very grateful to the commissioners that are taking an active role in trying to get to the bottom of this and improve things. But unfortunately, this has been going on for way too long. And hopefully you all will be able to make some positive changes. And I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, Thomas. Anybody else wish to be heard from the public before I bring it back up to my colleagues? I don't see any hands at this time. Oh, yes, I do. Mandy Soto, you are on. Mandy.
Yes, can you hear me? Hi,
yes,
how are you? I am fortunate to say I'm also the general contractor for Thomas and a good friend of his as well. Another situation besides the frustrations that we've had also with the permitting that's taken forever. I do understand we were in the middle of the COVID pandemic, and there's been systems that were been changing. But when we started with one system, one didn't communicate with the other, and so on and so forth. Many frustrations came through all that. But in addition to this, most recent. Inspection routes. So we submit for an inspection, and it clearly says in the top of the inspection that the actual inspector corrects the actual order in the morning between 7 and 8:15. Then we have a person waiting for the inspection in the job site, and we're supposedly number 15. And he went around every single inspection all across the board. Stopped it, started in the bottom, went back up, went back and forth. He didn't show up to the job until 5:15 p.m. Our guys had to leave the property, and then he says, oh, we kind of have to move it to tomorrow, which then he pushed me to the middle of the day as well. These are added frustrations that we have besides the fact, obviously, with the permitting, now also with inspections as well, if that could be also corrected as well.
Yeah. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. And while I know maybe not many people are asking questions or commenting tonight, we do hear from you. We do get your emails, and that's part of the reason why we're having this workshop tonight, because of all the communication we've received as of late. So anybody else before we bring it back up? All right, we'll see if we have a few more minutes at the end before we wrap up to see if anybody else does. But for now, I'll bring it back up to the virtual dais. You know, a lot of really good points were brought up. A user-friendly system is always what we need to strive for. Inspections, we've heard that now from two different people, and the frustrations there, the fees associated. What I'm going to do is, let me see if any of my colleagues, yep, I figured my vice chair has his hand up. I'll give you the floor, and then I'll wrap it up with my comments.
Sure. And Anna, thanks for the presentation. I guess what I heard from my colleagues, and I had mentioned that as we started, I was kind of trying to raise some of the issues that we're hearing. We heard from some of the individuals, but some of the issues that I'm hearing on a consistent basis, and I didn't hear any solutions to that tonight. And I know it's not a quick fix maybe, but, and I think we really owe it to our residents to sort of brainstorm on how we solve this problem, because this is a problem I heard about before I was elected, and it's been a problem. We've talked about this back in March at the neighborhoods meeting, and we're still talking about. So I guess the three issues that I'd like to hear some definitive concrete steps that we can take to resolve is, one, the timing that it takes to get through the process. When an application is made, sometimes it just nothing happens. And again, it's a situation where I understand that once in a while something will slip through, but I'm literally getting contacted repeatedly and having to try to help out our residents to find out where their permit is in the pipeline. So one, how do we resolve that? I used that Home Depot example where somebody ordered a generator several months ago and they need a permit, and they're telling me, and actually I had asked through you know, where it is, and I was basically told it's in the pipeline. The second thing is the communication that I'm being told by people, and this is more than one person, a number of people, that they're not able to reach anybody right now. You can't come to City Hall, and they're not able to reach anybody by phone. So how do we correct that? And I guess the next one is what I raised is, and I heard Commissioner Steinberg said that she had this on her list as well, is how do we potentially streamline this to help not only our residents, but also our staff? Because if you have a small business contractor who needs to make multiple phone calls, maybe there's a way to circumvent that, where that person won't have to keep contacting people, and it'll save that person time, and it'll save our city staff time not having to answer so many calls. I guess that also dovetails. We didn't hear anything about the, or at least I don't recall hearing anything about the expediters. I don't think that's something we should expect our residents to have to pay for. There's enough fees involved as it is. But I have heard residents complain about that too, that if you hire an expediter, things go very smoothly. But if you don't, then you're kind of left on your own devices. So I'd like to hear some discussion on that, and what some fixes can be to these issues.
Thank you, Commissioner, Vice Mayor Minor. You brought up really good points. And Anna, I'm going to give you an opportunity to address them. And expediting is also on my list, because residents shouldn't have to hire an expediter to get, you know, simple things through the system, right? So Anna, please, any thoughts on what Commissioner Minor said?
Yes. There was a few thoughts. One of the things I wanted to talk about, that Commissioner Minor specifically mentioned the phone, and that we weren't addressing that. And I did speak to that, because we've changed and we have 8 people now that are available to answer the phones. So that is being addressed. And I know that there were issues because of the transfer from one system to the other. There were definitely issues in July and in August and early September. But that backlog that we were having, that someone was experiencing in July, August, or September, we had a couple of different things that happened, which one, we had a system that created tasks for us to follow the tasks, but it wasn't, apparently it was keeping the number of tasks, but only showing us the most recent. And we did not find out until I started getting emails from people. And then we had to look at it. Then we had to create a report to find all the tasks that had been fallen between the cracks. And it wasn't one or two. And that's how we were at that period of time, about 2 weeks behind, because things were constantly dropping off. And so we were actually 2 weeks behind on some stuff, and then some stuff was being done in 2 days, and that's kind of a mess. As far as the expediters, I know that I've had, I've actually had two people in on staff that have been for the small business projects. They've been in contact with the small business projects. One of the things is people need to hire professionals. And I'm not talking about the expediter necessarily, but they need to hire an engineer. They need to hire an architect. They need to hire someone to prepare their drawings. And a lot of times the contractors, while they can, by code, prepare the drawings, they may not be the most tech savvy people. So then it kind of, that burden falls on the owners. And I know we had one of the owners, Georgina, she became my buddy, and she would email me, and I put her in contact with someone who actually helped her and taught her how to upload. And then she was successful in uploading in the process. So we do, you know, we do reach out, and when we're aware of people, and those are the ones where someone says, oh, Leonora is great, or this person is great. And I think we have a lot of people that have been helped on a one-to-one basis. What happens a lot of times, and that's why with the new phone system, I want to be able to track it to see how many people are just hanging up on a phone call. The other thing that was brought up, which had to do with the inspections, and that's something that we've had to create extra permit types, because the way the permit works is it has all the inspections on it. And so it needs to be more streamlined. And so we have been looking to create permit types that won't have as many inspection types on it, so that you don't have to call for a foundation or have somebody go back and undo the foundation. The other thing is we want to train the reviewers to remove the inspections that don't need to be on there, so that when by the time the permit's issued, the person actually can call for the inspections that they need to call for. So this is all requires training to make sure that they open and close it correctly, and that they don't leave something out. So what we've been trying is we've been looking at technical solutions that will help streamline it. The process with the holds, that was actually a glitch. There was an upgrade that happened. July 27th was our change, but somewhere in October, late October, September, we had an upgrade that Tyler Technologies said we needed that would fix all these things. And so we tested it, and it worked in test. And when it actually went into implementation, holds that were just notice comments suddenly stopped the system. And so our IT team spent a week and a half with Tyler working to fix those problems. In the meantime, you know, if you're the customer that needed the inspection or needed your plan reviewed, unfortunately, that was like the worst time. And so, yes, we have had a series of unfortunate events in order to do that, but we have been, and I think the restructuring of the phone section so that it does have a more robust team will help. The fact that we've gotten our backlog down from being 2 weeks behind to being about a day and a half to 2 days, where between upload and plan review, will makes a huge difference to both the owners and to the expediters. And it's not that you need an expediter in order to pull a permit, but when you hire someone that's all they do, they've been doing this, and I get it, we've changed three times during the pandemic. It's been super fun for all of us. But that is when you get someone who knows who's at least done it three times before, or four times before. Not that it's a requirement, and we will help the owner and the small business owner. And we've set up people to do that so that they don't get stuck. If you let us know who they are, we'll put them in contact with someone who actually takes the extra half an hour to show them how to use our process. So we've been doing that. And we're also creating an online appointment system so that people can schedule an appointment and spend the 20 minutes with somebody that'll explain it. So once we can get that up and running, and we had it to a point where I thought we were going to have it operational in July, but there were some security snags and it was stopped by the security IT team and it went into legal, and we're finally now back on track to getting something so that, because I do know, I understand that they need to talk to us.
Hopefully I'm answered. Vice Mayor Minor, your hand is still up.
Yeah, I'll take it down. I'm curious if my colleagues want to say something.
Yeah. Commissioner Samuel.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to sort of underline my colleague, Commissioner Minor's thoughts about sort of action orientation. And he mentioned streamlining. So I had a couple things. Anna, one, could you please talk a little bit more about automation and technology opportunities? My sense, what I hear from the community, is that we have a lot of paper moving back and forth. And I'm just wondering where you see potential opportunities where we could use information technology to streamline, as Commissioner Minor had sort of touched on.
Thank you, Commissioner. One of the things for streamlining that I would like is for the finalization process, where the plans are gathered, it's the latest and the greatest of each, and it gets stamped. If we can automate that, that streamlines that process down to a more of an instant process. One of the things that the county does that everyone says, oh, but the county does it great, and they do. However, they give you both the approved and the disapproved plans. They give you everything back, and you need to figure out, there's a small little thing at the bottom. And so we actually sort and give you the approved plans. I like that. And I want to continue that. I would like to automate that. I would love to automate more of the things. And we have weekly meetings with our IT department. And then our IT department is then in contact with Tyler Technologies, trying to see where we can automate and how we can better automate. And so what we've been kind of picking is which are the low hanging fruit to make it to make the process better. And I'm more than happy if anyone has any suggestions on automations that are something that they know that's working. I'm more than happy to consider it, to discuss it with our IT team, to look for creative and more streamlined solutions. We all want that. I don't think anyone wants to make the process more cumbersome for people.
Thank you for that, Anna. And, you know, I agree. Those who have, you know, sort of intimate knowledge of the process, if they have specific areas, that's wonderful. And I think I speak for my colleagues. If there were opportunities to fast track some of those projects or put more resources, I think automating some of these pain points, that would be something I'm very open to, and would just need to hear the specifics and the resources involved. But I think that could be something worth exploring. And the second thing, and you may have touched on it, but if you could, sometimes I do hear from the community about the difference of inspectors who come to cases. This is something that is frequently brought up. Could you please talk about why that's happening, how it's happening, and any opportunities to address it so it's a more efficient process?
Yes. It's human beings and it's human nature. And so one of the things that we are doing to address it, because people will say, well, this inspector comes and says it's okay. And then this next inspector came and said it wasn't okay. And so, you know, that creates a frustration. So one of the things that we're doing with this is, and we're asking that the chiefs, each trade has a chief that oversees that trade. We're asking that the chief perform follow-up inspections. So either that they virtually accompany the inspector so that they can check how they're doing the inspections, and or that they follow up with the contractor after the inspection and look at the highs and lows. Because while, you know, we do not want, I had someone last week ask for a gentle inspector, and it's what he really wanted was someone that was okay with something not being compliant. We don't want that in our inspectors, but at the, so we don't want someone who's just a yes man, but we don't want someone who is sitting there picking something apart that is not a life safety issue, and that isn't something that's a critical code item that will, that is required in order to make that the living environment safe for everyone. So we are having the chiefs do the ride-alongs, not ride-alongs, but virtual ride-alongs, and we're having that as a follow-up. We're also adding additional training. Our inspectors go through 16 hours of training every year. We're asking that in-house that there be additional training done, both on, so that they understand each other's trades, so that maybe they see something that can be fixed before the next inspector comes out and they can point that out, or they can assist in some other way. And so that's it needs training and it needs supervision in order to make that. And it's the same with plan review. But with plan review, people are more used to that. But it's important to have uniformity across both the plan review and the inspection process. And it is key.
Thank you for that, Anna. And I think you just underlined the key word. I'd close that thought is uniformity. If someone hears something, they got to be counting on it. And it, heaven forbid someone comes and says something different, that's obviously a gap. So I would like to underline that. Those are my comments for now, Madam Chair. And thank you again for hosting this.
Thank you, Commissioner Gongora.
Yes, thank you. Anna, I'm not sure if I missed it, but when we spoke, you told me that you were waiting for something from the website or technology people, that it wasn't capable of handling input in the way that you needed it. Could you refocus
that was
me on that?
That merge that I spoke about before. So we have a building online application. It's a very broad, general application. You apply to apply, and then that becomes a permit. And so if you upload drawings on the building online application, when we make it a permit, it doesn't drag the drawings with it. And so we would like to have something. And so that's something we put in a request with IT, and they said that they would put it in with Tyler. The Tyler EnerGov solution is that we just have multiple choices on there and that the customer has to pick. But it can get very confusing, because then you have to have condo and you have to have residential, and residential isn't the same as condo, and who sees it is different. So it, what we were finding when we had that, when we had more types and more choices, people were making the wrong choice more often than they were making the right choice. And we were actually slowed down by undoing the problem. So we're trying to see if Tyler can work on something where it can be a general application, but it can actually drag forward whatever you upload there into becoming the permit.
Okay, that seems like it can be done. So I think we should get an LTC in 30 to 45 days, understanding either that it's being done or why it can't be done, because we're paying money to these outside vendors and paying money to a lot of people. And we need to get it done, or we need to find a different vendor that can get it done.
I think that would be an LTC from possibly from IT. I'm more than happy to be involved with them, but the technical part of what works and doesn't work, I think, should come from our IT department. I can put my wish list and then they can explain what will or will not work. But this is the vendor that we have the EnerGov system and we have the Munis system. That's our financial system, and they're tied together. And so we're in a lot of times we're working with them and finding the workarounds but I don't know that a new system is.
Well, Commissioner, we need to make it as user friendly as possible.
Yeah, we'll be happy to get you an LTC, and we'll continue to work with Tyler on these improvements. We've been engaged with them quite a bit, and we will continue to push them to do everything that we need on the technology side.
Okay, thank you. And there was a lot of information here, and I apologize because this item has been pending since the beginning of 2020, and I was trying to even remember why I referred this, what I was waiting around so long for this to be scheduled for, and what I wanted to accomplish. Generally speaking, this is for me, not speaking for my colleagues. Workshops, which are very heavy with presentations from administration of like an hour or more, are not productive workshops for me because I'm tired at the end of my day and I'm trying to watch what's happening. And this isn't just for building, this is for all workshops and departments. For me, it's better if I get the presentation in advance, I can read it, I can formulate my questions, we can do a quick intro, and we can go straight to the meat and potatoes and the heart of what we want to ask. We didn't have very many attendees and callers. I don't know why that is, but workshops that are heavily promoted to the public and more particularly the users of the system that are having the problems, I think behoove us more because they're the ones that are in there, not me and my colleagues. We're not in there ourselves trying to get a building permit. We're dealing with complaints that come to our office. So having as many of the actual users there to speak is more helpful. With that said, it really comes back to the same two problems which have been highlighted since the beginning by me, by my colleagues. And number one, the time. It's just taking too much time to get the permit and finalize the permit. So we do need to have an after action item or LTC that explains our average time for getting the various permits, how that compares to other local governments, and what we can do to shorten that time. Because that's really what people want to see. And I can't tell you how to do it. You need to tell us how you can make it happen. And secondarily, Commissioner Samuelson then touched on the other point that we've heard for years. It predates this building director, which is the various inspectors that come out. You don't get the same inspector. You get different inspectors. You get different sets of notes each time a different inspector comes out. So people feel that it's a moving target. They can never really complete the work or perfect the notes because they then get a different inspector and a whole new set of instructions. So I know you made some comments that you're working to maintaining the same people, but we need to have something more definitive. And this workshop can't end on this note tonight. This conversation has to be the beginning for you to have a blueprint of how you can come back to neighborhoods, maybe in 60 days, with a blueprint of how we're going to fix these problems.
Michael, you took the words out of my mouth. I was going to suggest that in 60 days that she comes back to neighborhoods so that we can flesh out some of the things that were discussed today and understand from tonight, this is the beginning of the conversation. It's not going to, it's not a magic wand that we can fix everything, but there are, we have systemic issues and then we have some other issues caused by the recent events that we're all dealing with, but there were issues that were happening prior to the pandemic. The pandemic may have exacerbated some of it, but there were issues that were happening long before. As Commissioner Miner said, when he was on the campaign trail, he was hearing of issues, as did I, as did every one of us. And by the way, to the point of the IT and Tyler, if they can't do the things we need them to do, and I know this has been a point of contention in the past, then we need to figure out another system. They get a lot of money, and they're a company that is supposed to handle all of these things, not make administration's life harder, not make our residents' lives harder, not make contractors' lives harder. It's supposed to be a tool to help. And it doesn't sound year after year that it's really doing that. So we may have to take another hard look at Tyler, InterGov, whatever the system is, because we have issues. And if we can't simply program a user-friendly system for our customer service for people who want to apply, it should be so, step one, this, step two, this, step three, this. And if we can't do that, then there's another problem that we need to be dealing with. So I need you all to, when you come back in 60 days, to explore that, because we need to have those hard conversations. I know it's not an easy conversation to have, but we just may be at that point where we need to have those conversations. I don't know how my colleagues feel about that. Yes, it was very a lot of information in the presentation, and I appreciate you taking the time for it. But I think it's a lot for people to absorb. And I think what we need to do in 60 days is separate half of a neighborhood's meeting just to building. Not as its own workshop, but really take a good chunk of that time, because we tend to get a lot of people who didn't have a chance to comment tonight that may be able to give us some more feedback. And that gives you time too, Anna, to try to find resolution to some of these things, because that's our goal. We want to stop the... we want to encourage people to continue getting permits, right? Getting permits is the right thing to do. We know that the work is being done safely, but we can't make it so onerous where they have no the cost of doing business. You know, they can't. We want to encourage them to get these permits, so we need to make sure we're doing everything we can to make it as streamlined and user friendly as possible. And I know not all cases are the same, and I know you have outlier cases, but for the most part, simple things like getting your kitchen redone or your bathroom redone or fixing the pool or pulling a permit for this, that, and the other, those shouldn't be overly complicated things for people. Any final thoughts for my colleagues? Because I think we gave you some direction. And like Commissioner Gongora said, this is the beginning of the conversation, and we're not going to let the, for lack of a better, you know, phrase, take the pedal off the gas, but we really want to make sure that we make our points really clear. Commissioners, any other comments? Nope. Okay. No more comments. I think everybody's tired. Yes. All right. So, Eric, 60 days would put us when? February?
Yeah, we'd be on the February neighborhoods agenda.
Okay. And I know we've also had individual items for, I guess, that were on the agenda. Why don't we put those individual items next month that we've referred to neighborhoods, just so that we can have that, so we can add that to the conversation, so we can give additional direction should we need it for the meeting in February.
The individual building related items, you're saying?
Yeah. Okay. Right. I would add them next month so we have them, and that way we can make it part of what we want to address in our big update in 60 days. Is that okay with everybody?
Fine with me.
Okay. All right. Anna, I appreciate everybody taking the time to tune in. This is just the beginning. We are going to do everything we can to make it a better process. It's time. It's long overdue. And I know there's a lot that we have done, but we need to always do better and be better. So with that, since I see no other hands are up, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much and have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.